Let's talk a little bit about the world of sports, the world of wagering, which isn't always the same, and the world of sports wagering. What's the first story of the week for you?
The number 97 is important. Do you know why the number 97 is important?
No.
That's the average amount of wins the Chicago Cubs had in that really impressive core window of Theo Epstein's Chicago Cubs. So from 2015 through 16, 17, and 18, the Chicago Cubs averaged 97 wins per season.
Wow. I would not have guessed it that high.
Right? That's how good they were. And I think we don't realize it in the moment when you're in the middle of the storm, the eye of the storm. You don't realize how good you've got it. And obviously things have sort of tailed down a little bit in the last couple of years, but that guy changed everything. He made them into perennial contenders when they were forever the lovable losers.
I don't want to take anything away from that, Sam, because we should appreciate that. But I just don't have a great taste in my mouth about what that core accomplished. 97 wins is not the object of the game.
Got a World Series.
Uh-huh. I wanted to. I thought that team was good for 2.5. I don't know. If you'd said, what would the of or under be in World Series for the Cubs starting at 15 if I knew they were going to win 97 games a year with that lineup, I would have said, if you can win it in 16, how do you not win it in 17 or maybe come back in 18?
But it's tough to win.
Yeah, I guess so.
Oh, and it's not always the best team that wins in baseball. It's not like the NFL or the NBA when it's usually pretty clear who's going to win. You have a pretty good idea. In baseball, it's so random. It's whoever gets hot at the right time. But you're right about that. It makes me wonder, are you more upset that the Cubs only won once in the 2010s or that the Bears only won once in the 80s? It's the same thing.
Well, the Cubs are fresher. I think that's the shame of it. In the case of Theo Epstein, look how it seemed impossible that the Cubs would win the World Series. A guy comes to town and he got you a World Series and 97 wins per year for 4 straight years. And yet, I don't feel satisfied. Isn't that terrible? Why are you snorting?
It's pretty funny. As a White Sox fan, we've only won one title in the last 95 years.
I understand that, but I just think that the White Sox were kind of one and done. They weren't even good the next year.
They won 90 games the next year.
They did not.
Yes, they did.
Look it up.
I don't need to. It's in my brain.
Yeah.
They came in third place in their division. They won 90 games. They missed the playoffs.
Maybe that's what I remember them not being.
I'm sure you definitely remember that. Mm-hmm.
Well, okay, so what do you think the average Chicagoan or Cub fan feels about Theo Epstein's tenure?
I would hope they appreciate the success, because remember, when he first got here, there were many people in town that said, you gotta treat it like a big league team. You got to sign Albert Pujols, who eventually would sign a mega deal with the Angels, and he was never the same player. Theo was unconventional because he sort of took the tree out of the ground and uprooted it and threw it away and built a new tree. And I think that process at that point in time was sort of unique. It wasn't like it is now.
I'm making it sound like these players were handed to him. That's his legacy, right?
He traded for Anthony Rizzo. I was a 23-year-old reporter in 2012 when he called up a kid, a little chubby kid named Anthony Rizzo. And nobody really knew who he was going to be. And then in 2013, he trades for Jake Arrieta. In 2014, they call up Javi Baez. Now, Theo didn't draft Baez, but he signed Lester, traded for Fowler. The next year, they call up Bryant and Russell and Schwarber, all Theo guys. They sign Hayward, sign Zobrist, and they win the world title the next year.
So, who is your favorite player of that lot? Who is just the guy that just made you feel good to be? Well, I'm asking you this, but I'll answer it for me. Schwarber. If you said, who just embodied the joy you had for the 16 and 17 Cubs? I would say that Mr. Buster.
I think it was Arrieta for me. He was the coolest guy to be around. It was such a good group, and you didn't really have any bad apples in that bunch, and that was the cool thing, because they scattered all these young players that had a lot of promise, and once those young players started to turn and take that step up, it was adding the old vets that knew how to win, and it was a great mix.
It was such a good run. I mean, how often can you look at a team and say, one of my favorite things about this team is the way the shortstop tags people out? But that became an art. Everything about that team. Remember the 2016 All-Star game? It was the Cubs' starting lineup. They had the infield, the pitcher, and one or two of the outfielders. Okay, so...
And the reality is we haven't even spoken about how amazing it was to be around Joe Maddon every day.
Are the White Sox going to be the Cubs in the 2020s?
That's the plan.
And do you think they've got the horses to do that?
I think they definitely do.
Do you think they have the manager to do that?
I don't know. It's puzzling, isn't it?
Mm.
But anyways, the number 97 is what they averaged for four straight seasons, 97 straight wins. And the win total this year for the Cubs, 83.5.
Okay, but that's on Theo also.
It is on Theo also. He also bottomed out that Boston team too, but he did say that he wanted to spend a decade here. The 10 years was probably enough, and then it was time for a change.
And how many will it be?
10.
Okay, let's talk about those Bears.
Do we have to?
Yep. Yep, I think that's actually the most important topic to Chicagoans these days.
If you've just been betting your Bears under every week, you're probably rich right
now.
You're
a genius.
You've been saying this every week. You said the Bears aren't going to go over that total. Now, you've been wrong a couple times, but they've played 10 games, and 7 of the 10 games have gone under that total.
Yeah.
And it's usually a number around 43, 44.
What is the ratio of offensive touchdowns to other touchdowns by the Bears this year? I'll bet it's close to even.
That's a great question.
Because they've only scored four touchdowns. They've only scored four touchdowns this year. I'll bet two of them were defense and special teams, and two of them were offense.
Have you only watched the last three games?
No,
I think they've got more than four touchdowns.
The whole total this year is four, I'm pretty sure.
Did you see the other day that
maybe three.
It was coming out of the halftime break against the Vikings. They showed this graphic on the screen, and it said, Bears have been outscored 56-7 in the third quarter. And 10 seconds later, the guy took the kickoff back for a touchdown.
105 yards.
That was the most exciting play of the entire game.
No, the most exciting play was watching the Vikings coach run up to his special teams coordinator, and he literally chewed the man's head off like a praying mantis. He grabbed him by the shoulders and ate his head. It was spectacular.
Bears right now to win the Super Bowl. Are you interested? 130-1.
I bet the line on that has moved since we started.
That's what PointsBet's got right now, 130-1. So if you walk up to the counter at Hawthorne or any of the locations here in town and you give them a $100 bill and the Bears somehow, some way win the Super Bowl, you get $13,000.
Would you do that?
No.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. And frankly, when they were 5-1, I wouldn't have done it. I've said all season long, this is not a good team. It's a bad team that's lucky.
It's a great defense with a bad offense and horrendous coaching.
Okay, we'll pick it up here in a minute. I want to talk to you about the Bulls. I want to talk to you about the strange big bet of the week and anything else that's surfacing in the world of wagering. You can be in the conversation, too. So, TJ, stay there. The number's 312-981-7200. Sam Panionovich in the studio. Sam Panionovich in the WGN Radio studios. What's the wisdom on 19-year-old Patrick Williams, picked in the first round, fourth overall by the Bulls?
Youngest player in the draft, didn't even start at Florida State. But his head coach, Leonard Hamilton, said, you know what? He finished. He was a player that they relied on late in the second half. He's got a lot of promise. He's an NBA-type body, big kid, 6'9", big, broad shoulders, going to be tough, going to play both ways. But he will have growing pains because he's only 19 years old.
Is the idea that we'd better get him now before somebody else gets him later?
The idea is they had scouted him immensely. The new basketball VP, Karnišovas, they had scouted him immensely in the regular season. And here's what I had heard. Somebody wise told me this. If they would have had an ACC tournament this year, this kid would have made every scout's rule. So they did their due diligence on him. And remember, the ACC tournament got postponed, and we didn't have March Madness this year. So if he would have played up to the potential that many people believed that he could, he might have been a top two or a top three pick. So they're buying a little low on a kid that they believe is going to be a difference maker on both ends of the floor. But remember, he's 19 years old, and he's not going to carry the mail in year one or probably not even year two.
Yeah.
But another young piece in that puzzle.
You just make me sad because teams were in the locker room and on the floor as the March Madness tournaments were getting canceled or the run-up to them.
Yeah, the postseason tournaments. There was actually a game. I believe there was a game played in the ACC. And then before game two of that tournament, that was when everything went to hell.
Yeah. Well, I was just watching the Big East because that's my teams are in the Big East, Butler and DePaul, and I was just so anxious for that thing to go. And to say nothing of the Big Ten. By the way, I'm just reading now, DePaul's Paul Reed became the first Blue Demon since 2007 to be selected in the NBA draft. Philadelphia picked him in the second round, 58th overall. Some folks thought he would go higher than that, and he had another year he could have played here. He was a good player. He got so much better every single year. Talk about somebody you see the upside on.
You've got your Illinois sweater on right now. Illinois should have two players this year that could have gone in the first round, but they both came back to town down in Champaign. That should be exciting. I'm very pumped for that. Ayo Dosunmu, who went to Morgan Park, and then Kofi Coburn, their seven-footer from Jamaica, who ended up playing high school ball, I think, in New York. They were both potential lottery picks, and they decided to come back. And Illinois is going to be, they're eighth in the country right now in the preseason poll.
How weird is it going to be to see the NBA playing in 4 weeks? The next season starts in December.
Imagine being a Laker or a Miami Heat player.
You just got done.
You just finished.
You're just toweling off, and now you got to go back out there.
It's like those Blackhawk teams that would win the cup and play through June, and then, oh, by the way, training camp starts in August.
How's the NBA going to do it? Are they going to play in bubbles again, or what are they going to do?
I don't know. They did shorten the season to 72 games.
The next season instead of 82?
Yeah. And the Bulls have the ninth best odds to win the Eastern Conference, 50-1 at points bet. So they're down the page quite a bit. But I expect them to be a much more competitive team. And I think over the course of the season, they'll be a tougher team to play because Billy Donovan is a really great head coach.
They got to stay injury free. I mean, what do you like about this team? What five players for the Bulls give you hope?
LaVine is going to give you 25 points a night, and you know that, but he might give up 30 the other way. That's always been the issue with LaVine. I'm curious to see how they
Markkanen's
the guy. He is the glue
is
to
due.
The team.
Laurie, if you're listening, you're due. Okay, I loved him in college. I liked when he came into the NBA because he wasn't perfect, but you could see it, and it hasn't happened.
Jim Boylan did not put him in a position to succeed. That'd be like making you, instead of, that'd be like the new coach coming in, all right, John, you're doing a great job on your shift. We're going to make you the traffic copter right now. I'd be like, what? You'd be like, wait a minute. That doesn't make any sense. That's what Lauri Markkanen was. He was the traffic pilot.
All right, so LaVine, Markkanen, done. Are you done with him?
I'm done with him. Kobe White from Carolina, this Williams kid, and then Wendell Carter, the kid out of Duke. But he missed a lot last year. He was on the shelf, I think, half the season last year. You're right, though. You have to be healthy, but that's every team in the NBA.
You'll be proud of me, Sam Panionovich. Last week at Points Bet, I bet $1,000 that Tiger would shoot a 10 on one hole.
No, you didn't. I know that's a lie. Fake news. Because there was only one bet on that. Incredible bet.
That was a bet you could have placed?
It was 150-1 that Tiger would shoot a 10 or higher on any hole.
I was making that up. Somebody actually took that.
There was one bet.
Wow. So what were the odds? Did you say 150?
150-1, and the bet was $1. And guess what? That person bet that going, because you had to bet it before the tournament started at Augusta. So that person bet it, I don't know, Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday, and they had to sweat it Thursday, Friday, Saturday. You get to Sunday on the 12th hole. Tiger put 3 in the drink, shot at 10.
Why do you bet $1? I mean, if you've got $1, you've got 10. Maybe not 100, maybe not 1,000, but 10.
How many dollars did you bet?
I did not know it was an option, but $1,500 you've got for $10.
This person bet $1, won $150, collected $151.
Right?
Isn't that incredible?
$150, wow.
He had never shot a 10 in his career.
Really?
That's why the odds were so astronomical, 150-1. So if you bet $2, yeah, boom, 300. If you bet 10, like you said, you gave the math already.
Still, I think that's a funny bet for the house to put up, right, or whatever you call them. The
if book. You bet $25, you made $3,750. $3,750.
By the way, we were talking baseball a minute ago, and TJ wanted to chime in and say something about the Cubs or the Sox. Hey, TJ, what can we do for you? You're on the air.
Hey, John, first off, I'd like to ask, the gentleman that you're talking to, is that the guy that wanted to sell you a ticket for $750 that the White Sox win the World Series?
I'm trying to remember that.
Remember
was that a bet that we placed?
I tried to sell it, yeah, but you didn't want to buy it.
Oh, that's right.
Because I said they weren't going to win the World Series. But I had, remember, TJ, I had 60-1 on that ticket. So
I do remember that.
It was a pretty
anybody
decent.
Anybody who would think that that was going to happen it was a fool. By the way, did we enjoy that Cubs-White Sox Crosstown World Series?
No.
Wasn't that wonderful? I can't believe that everybody even thought that one, you know?
Wait a minute. You know, you're so smart after the fact. You don't know before the fact. And at the time, the Cubs and the Sox were serious contenders for their divisions. I mean, come on.
Well, no, I'll give you that. But on the other hand, you can also see how the Cubs and White Sox really have been the last couple of years. Okay?
All right, TJ, do you like the White Sox? How many games do you think the White Sox in a 72-game season? 72-game?
No, 162.
I'm confusing the two leagues. They're going to play how many?
162.
They're going to play a full season. How many games do you like the White Sox winning this year, TJ?
Me?
Yeah. Let's see how smart you are.
Well, I don't know. With La Russa as a manager, I don't know. I think that's a bad move, too. But, I mean, I'll give it in the 80s, maybe.
Their win total's 90.5, TJ.
That's what they feel that they're going to win?
That's the number,
You want the over or under on that, TJ?
We're guessing this again, is what I'm saying.
We're
guessing this again.
But, I mean, well, of course we are. So are you going to guess over or under on the White Sox?
I don't know, because I want to know the truth. I don't gamble on sports.
I don't either.
We don't even need your money. We do. It's just a number.
It's a question. You're on the radio, TJ.
I understand that, but I don't bet on sports, and that's actually not why I call. I figured we'd get into that, though, if I mention that.
What, did we call in on your show? Why are you calling?
Well, I called first off to say that I thought that as far as the Cubs, I think Theo... I think pretty much seeing the writing on the wall with the way things are going in baseball, and especially with the Cubs, with COVID-19, you know, and that.
I don't blame him for that. Well, hold on a second, TJ. I've got a minute and a half, and I got to get some more information from Sam. Thank you for the call. But I don't blame anybody for getting out of the business of professional sports going into the next season. You on the same page?
No, the pressure is tremendous, and he knew it wasn't going to get better.
The pressure and also the complexity and the uncertainty of even finishing a season. So, I mean, these hybrid seasons and these expanded playoffs must be difficult for managers or vice presidents, player personnel people to navigate. TJ, thanks for the call. We're just out of time, and I want to get your – was that the bet of the week, the 150-1
on Tiger? That was the big bet of the week. It wasn't a huge bet, but 150-1 – and Tiger shoots a 10 on the 12th hole Sunday.
We need Sam's pick for the week.
6-4, man. I want to go 7-4. 7-11, you know, 7 out of 11. I like Ohio State here. They are laying 20.5 to Indiana. It's very rare that a team that's 4-0 is catching 3 touchdowns. That's Indiana right now. They're undefeated. They're in the top 10 in the country. But Vegas puts a big number next to Ohio State. And usually...
They're giving Indiana 20.5
points. And here's what happens.
Jeez.
People like you walk up and go, oh, Indiana's undefeated. They're getting 20.5. Oh, that's a lot. And the final score is 52-21 because the great teams can win big, and Ohio State's going to win by 4 touchdowns.
You think that really Ohio State is 3 touchdowns better than Indiana? I guess that doesn't surprise me because I can't believe Indiana's that good.
Alabama lays 25 a week. Clemson lays 30 every other week. 20.5 looks like a big number, but in college football, it's really not that big.
Yeah. Well, it does make the game interesting then because Indiana's good. They're really good.
They're really good, but Ohio State is great.
But they don't have to be great. They just got to be good enough, and that they cover that bet, right?
The last time two top 10 teams played, it was Florida State, Miami in 2013.
Florida State, Miami.
Florida State was a 21-point favorite. They won by 40 points.
It's good to see you, Sam.
You too, buddy.
Sam Panayotovich joins us, what is today, Thursdays
yes.
at this time. And
I won't see you on Thanksgiving, but I'll see you Wednesday.
Hey, real fast, I got 18 seconds. Bears over under this week. What's the number?
They're on the bye, so the number is zero.
I'll take the over. I will still take the under.
Sunday night football next Sunday. Bears at the Packers. We'll talk about it.
Okay. Thank you, Sam.